Howdy, Ags. Welcome to Aggie Growth Hacks, the podcast sponsored by the McFerrin Center for Entrepreneurship at Texas A&M. And we're dedicated to helping entrepreneurs improve their business, connect with other Aggie entrepreneurs, and support one another. I'm your host, Greg Martin, Fighting Texas Aggie Class of 2001.
And I'm your co-host, Chris Hunter, Fighting Texas Aggie Class of 1998.
Whoop! Well, we got a little story for you, Ags. Lauren Coates, Fighting Texas Aggie Class of 2008, is the founder and owner of Rockwell Counseling Wellness, and she just opened up Wiley Counseling and Wellness. We first met Lauren when she celebrated her Aggie 100 win last year. And let me tell you, this woman is going to be a mainstay at many Aggie 100s for many years to come. Lauren grew up in an entrepreneurial family, and she loves everything there is about owning, running, and expanding her practice.
So pass it back and listen up to Lauren as she shares some really good bull.
Lauren, thank you so much for joining us on Aggie Growth Hacks. We are so excited to have you on the podcast, and we were excited to celebrate with you on your Aggie 100 win. So first off, let's start off congratulating you and your team for the hard work that it takes to be one of the fastest growing Aggie-owned and operated companies. But thank you so much for joining us today.
Yes, thank you so much for having me.
Well, how about you tell us a little bit about yourself, a little bit about your practice? Why did it start and where's it now?
Yeah. Well, for starters, I've been married for 16 years and have 4 children in elementary and middle school.
Oh, bless you. On top of being an entrepreneur. Wow.
Yes, I count my offices as babies sometimes. So I kind of joke that I have nine babies, including the 4 children. I actually went to A&M to become a teacher, and I did teach for 3 years before I had my oldest child. During that time, I was getting a master's in counseling, and so it just kind of worked out to ease out of teaching and into counseling after she was born. A fun fact, my mom is a therapist and has been my entire life. I actually sat at her graduate school graduation, so saw her build her career from the very beginning and sort of an inspiration in the field. Never thought I would do what she does, but here I am. My entire family, dating back to my great-great-grandparents, are entrepreneurs. They all had their own businesses. My great-grandparents, my grandparents, I worked in their Western store growing up as a teenager. And then my mom had her own business. My dad had his own business. And so I never even thought of it as, I didn't know the word entrepreneur. I just thought, owning a business, that's what you do.
That's what everybody does.
Yeah. It didn't look hard or difficult. It looked fun. As a young age, I had a bunch of red oak trees in our yard growing up, and they dropped acorns. And I would, at 6, 7, and 8, I would gather the acorns, take the tops off, make them into little men, put hair on them, and then put the hats back on and sell them door to door in my neighborhood. For me, it's never been about having money as much as I've always had the thrill of selling a product or a service that people want and liked. I remember having garage sales and selling all my purses and wallets as a teenager and then going back in the house because they'd sold out and getting more purses and wallets because I simply loved that people were purchasing what I had to offer and just have always really enjoyed that part of it. My first real job was at Chick-fil-A. And I worked for Roger Clark. He's an owner operator, the first one to own multiple Chick-fil-A's in Texas. And at the time, it was the number one Chick-fil-A in the nation. He's very well known among corporate, and it's been number one many, many times since then. But he was the best at customer service. Really, my pleasure was coined when I was a teenager. That was when Chick-fil-A kind of rolled that out. And he would slip you money if you were saying my pleasure. And I joke with my kids, like, you need to work at Chick-fil-A for your first job for that really good customer service and serving the public. And so he was one of kind of an early mentor of mine in sort of the business field for customer service.
Love that. Yeah. And where are you located at?
My family lives in Rockwall, and we have Rockwall Counseling and Wellness. There are 3 locations in Rockwall, 1 in Heath, which is just a tiny town kind of attached to Rockwall. It's in the same school district. And then this month, we opened our 5th location in a nearby town called Wiley, Texas.
Congratulations. That's awesome. Yay.
Thank you. So that just launched about 3 weeks ago. I've never opened an office in a town that I don't have a presence. No one knows me there. So it's definitely been the biggest risk it feels like the biggest risk to me. It might not actually be on paper, but it feels like the bigger risk. I opened Rockwell Counseling and Wellness in 2018. I had a mentor that I was working for, and I really appreciated what she had to offer from the business side of things. Counselors are not really business people usually. They're kind of bleeding hearts, really want to help people, but sometimes can be taken advantage of because they'll give their services away for free because they feel, you know, just so much empathy, which is great. But you have to be able to make a living.
And you have to be able to pay mortgages and stuff.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. So I had a really great mentor who really taught me a lot about the business side. And so, you know, eventually though, jumped out of the nest with her and was actually driving home from that office to my home and passed by this little cute historical building, and it had a for rent sign, and pulled over to take a picture of it. But in tiny letters, it said, "or for sale." And so we ended up purchasing that first building. That was in 2018. And it was really just, it was for me. It was just a building with five offices. It had used to be a massage therapist owned it. So it was set up very well. And I didn't know what I was going to do with the extra rooms, but therapists just started kind of reaching out. They heard that I had bought that location. And so that was full within a year and thriving. It's on a main road here in Rockwall. And so that was kind of the beginning of the journey. And since then have opened two more are historical homes on the Rockwall Square in a really neat area. That's kind of always been my dream.
So as you're attracting other therapists to be able to kind of come work with you, are these employees of yours, or do you kind of help give them a space and then that allows them to be able to focus on their practice?
Yeah, so they are all independent contractors. And so I always tell them, you own your own practice, kind of under the umbrella of Rockwall Counseling and Wellness. So we do have a receptionist, and she books for all of the people in the practice, but they are their own business owners. They're just not necessarily therapists that want to go do the risk of purchasing a building and furnishing it and doing all things. And so we book clients for them, and we really refer in-house to each other. We have really now at this point 35 therapists with a specialty for anything mental health that you can possibly think of, from children to couples, trauma, EMDR, every aspect.
Interesting. So, all right, this is going to be a dumb question, but how do you make money then, right? If they're independent.
Yeah. So some of them are on a rental basis where we sign 1 or 3 year contracts and they pay monthly, and others choose split, kind of, I will take a percentage of what their income is that they bring in. And different therapists choose different models for different reasons. Some are more, they've been around a long time and they have a practice and they want to do the rental fee and kind of do things on their own. And then others are very much like, oh, I might have a baby and I don't want to pay your rent when I'm on maternity leave. So I would rather do the percentage fee, or they want to have vacation, different things. And so different, I offer just a variety of options and they choose what works best for them.
We've had a couple other mental health providers on in previous episodes. And one of the things that I was thinking that Dr. Taylor talked about was how Texas is really at the forefront of mental health. But even by saying that, our society has such a need for this, which I think that is one of the reasons why you're saying, look, I'm able to expand and grow. You're able to have multiple offices in the same town and really to be able to provide that. And when you couple the fact that you were born an entrepreneur, and so doing administrative, operational, financial type things doesn't scare you, but that's probably serves your customer or your the other therapist really well. So like, do you offer the packages to take over all the admin stuff?
Oh yes, absolutely. That comes with the percentage split, whereas their rental agreement is more, they want to do their own. They just want to use the space and the pretty building. And the percentage split is, yes, I do way more of all the things that you're talking about. I'm not only not scared of it, I love it. I absolutely love, I'm sure like everybody else read E-Myth and I was like, I'm the 10%. I love the entrepreneurial portion. I love seeing clients and stuff as well, but I do a lot of therapist coaching with the therapists that work in my office and supervising. And that's my passion, is just helping them get past like any fears that they have, or just any things that they get stuck on in the business side, which they are running their own business with their clients. And so they come to me like, how do I handle this? Their credit card didn't go through and they left. Now I have to call them. I mean, it's just, there can be some awkward conversations. Yeah. And counseling it's a different relationship. It's very intimate from the client perspective. We know a lot about them. And so there's a lot of ethics involved for counseling. We don't ever want to do anything that makes the client feel uncomfortable or taken advantage of or anything like that. And so just my role of coaching the therapist on how to handle those kind of more delicate topics.
Yeah. But also with that, it's setting empathetic but professional boundaries. Mm-hmm. You know, I mean, it's not real. I can't sit there and give you my services for free.
Yeah.
You know, we all have to eat and to be able to mm-hmm. have that. So you're, man, I want to like just pull up a couch and be like, all right, let's have an entrepreneurial therapy session right now. Let's
go. That's one of my, you mentioned eating. That's one of my favorite things to tell the therapist when they let someone leave and they didn't charge them. I'm like, would you be able to do that if you worked at Kroger and you were the cashier and someone pulled up with all these groceries and they were like, can you charge me next Friday? That's just not how it works. And you're right. It's a therapy issue to work on boundaries. So
interesting.
Yeah.
So is there anything that you learned at A&M that has helped you with this entrepreneurial journey?
Yes, absolutely. I was talking to my husband before this because, like I said, he's a Longhorn. He went to UT, but most of his best friends and then his wife. And I think my oldest daughter wants to attend A&M. He's got a lot of respect for us. I was telling him, I feel like the very thing that A&M taught me is also the reason I was drawn to them in the first place in high school. It's the culture, and it's the culture of excellence and this family feel that's fun. I'm extremely extroverted. I love being around people. And so at A&M, it was like, we can have a lot of fun and we do things with excellence. And even just walking around and everyone's saying howdy, it feels kind of like back to what I was talking about, Chick-fil-A, that customer service feel. The way I even heard about A&M is that my dad was a photographer. He was a wedding photographer. And every year, A&M hosts this photographer's conference. And so when I was a little girl, he was going to A&M without me. I wasn't with him or anything, but he would come home and tell me how the Aggies were so helpful. He was trying to find this building or that building, and college students would stop and walk him to where he was going, and they were just so hospitable. And so I really feel like that's one of the things that I was drawn to with A&M. Don't tell him, but I took a tour at UT. They're not like that over there, but bringing that into my practice. We have core values amongst our team. It's excellence in everything, VIP service, laugh when possible, a collaborative community, and then client-centered care. And I feel like so many of those really go along with kind of the A&M spirit.
100%. I think that aligns so much, but it's also so cool that you're able to take that and craft that into mm-hmm. something that is providing a livelihood for all of your staff and everything. Lauren, you're obviously a growing entrepreneur and you're one of the fastest growing Aggie owned companies. What's the biggest challenge that you are having right now? Is it finding space? Is it finding people? Is it being able, you know, you're already booked up with the new location? What are you challenged with right now?
I'm going to actually answer this for what it was about a year ago, because I think it's probably something other people deal with more often than finding space. Space is always an issue. Always looking for space. We're on LoopNet all the time looking for buildings. But something that I've battled just kind of ongoing has always been, you know, COVID happened, and I think corporate America saw a lot of money in the mental health field. And so pretty quickly, a bunch of corporate companies have come in and tried to take their portion of the market share. And that's all well and good. But my biggest challenge was when I would get sidetracked looking at, oh, so-and-so's moving in, they're corporate, they're going to have more money than me to market or to buy that building or whatever it is. And I've just learned that, I think this is a famous quote I picked up somewhere, but what the competition is doing is interesting, but what I'm doing is fascinating. Isn't that so great? I think I heard it on a podcast, but when I look at what they're doing, I take my eye off of the ball of what we're doing well. And what I've learned is people in mental health, they want the hometown feel. They don't want the corporate setting. And so even starting our new location, it's not Rockwell Counseling Wellness. We named it Wiley Counseling Wellness. It is Wiley's Counseling Center. It has really just been about doing more of what I'm doing and doing it well, rather than worrying about what they're doing or like, oh, they are doing that. Maybe I should try that. Anytime I've done that, it's not me. It's not authentic. And so that's really been my biggest challenge. I feel like I'm getting past that, but that was definitely, you know, we're only 5 years old. And so it's been a challenge, an ongoing challenge to move past it.
All right. Going backwards to your like first, your second location that you opened up, what led to that decision? Was it just literally you didn't have enough space and you needed more space?
March 2020 hit. And for 2 weeks, everyone canceled. And we had, you know, we had only opened 2 years prior. I had probably, I think, 10 therapists at the time officing out of this one location. And for a couple of weeks, I was like everyone in America, but I was like, oh my gosh, what are we going to do? A few people did virtual appointments, but for the most part, everything canceled. No calls came in except for cancellation calls. But about 2 weeks later, it blew up. And we were, I felt like I was the only one of all my friends who were working. I was working my butt off at that time. And we had just brought our fourth child is adopted from China. We had just brought her home right before this happened. So I've got four kids under eight and the calls are pouring in. And so we just all got so full from March or April of 2020 till July. And so we opened that second office in July, just down the road in Heath, which is, it's 5 miles from the original location.
But as you're doing that, the fact that you had, or you acquired another physical location said that people realized, okay, even, you know, going back to 2020 and remembering how a lot of people were 6 feet and all those protocols, and we're not going to get into all that. But the fact of the matter is that they're like, no, I need Lauren and her team to help me deal with something that my entire world has been flipped upside down. And that was a benefit to you, but you guys had to walk that with such grace and empathy that was probably right up your alley as therapists.
Yeah. It was interesting. People would tell me every day, all day, you're the only person I can go in person to see. Every other appointment was canceled and they were desperate. People are desperate to be around people and to have community. And so fortunately, our offices are big enough. We could sit 6 feet apart and that was no issue. People could wear a mask if they wanted to, and they wanted the in-person sessions. And there's really nothing like counseling in person and getting to see your client's full body disposition and how they are, if they're tense, when they're crying and all that. And, you know, it's hard with the glitches. And so everyone really wanted to do virtual. And yeah, that office filled up very quickly in 2020, the second one.
And so as you guys continue to grow, where do you see yourself, right? In 5 to 10 years, what's your big, hairy, audacious goal?
It's funny. So this month, opening the fifth office, I reached my first big, hairy, audacious goal on New Year's Eve, 2018. So I had one office. I was doing this goal setting practice. It's Rachel Hollis. She has this journal called a Start Today Journal. And she walks you through the next 10 years of your life and what you want it to look like. And so 5 years ago, I set a 10-year goal. And one of the things, I wrote three offices. And the next page, she says, make it bigger. So then I wrote five offices. Okay. And so this month, it was kind of crazy in half the time of that 10-year to reach that goal. When I think of it now, in 10 years with my youngest will be 16. I feel like so many of my kids and my life will be so different. I'll have three out of the home. I really, there's no telling. I could open several more offices. I think my big, hairy, audacious goal is opening farther from home, because that has been the risky. I could keep going around here and I think that would be kind of easier. But even opening the Wiley office, it's kind of a risk, a trial run to see, okay, what can it look like? to open in a place where no one knows Lauren Coates, people aren't familiar with Rockall Counseling Wellness or our team. And so I'd like to see myself open a few locations, other places in Texas, maybe in Fort Worth or just outside of DFW.
So Lauren, as you're expanding and as you're walking towards your BHAG of geographically displaced locations, are you going to follow the same model or are you going to be looking to hire a therapist that only works for you and then you're placing them there? I mean, because it sounds like, hey, you're providing the space and there might be some revenue sharing or just rental, but that's a really wise way of them being local and they know to get into the Chamber of Commerce. They know to, you know, what golf team or they know what high school to sponsor or not sponsor. You don't have to figure that out.
Messing with that a little bit in Rockwall, I have a few therapists that I really trust that I am contracting to supervise some of my supervisees. The way it works in counseling, you have to work under a supervisor for 3,000 hours, even after you've gotten your license to be fully licensed. And so that used to just be me. I would supervise every single therapist. That's a weekly appointment every single week on my calendar. And so I've already started to sort of play around with other people doing that. And so I definitely think that will be on the horizon for future offices that are farther from home. I only have so many appointments in a week. I can't manage the whole thing. And really that's one of my gifts is it's always been one of my gifts is I feel like I know someone for everything. And I call it out on people. Like I just see that they're good at something. They might not even be doing this as a job or a career, but I will say, you're really good at writing. Do you want to write a blog post? Or you're really good at just various things. And I find people contacting me saying, hey, can I do this for you? I would like to do this for you. And so that's one of my, I can't do it all. I feel like I have a person that does what they're great at in all different aspects in my life, personal and business. And I couldn't do half the things I do without them.
Love that. Absolutely love that. And I love how, and us entrepreneurs, we have to realize we're limited by ourselves.
Yeah. Right?
And yeah, we have to have other people do stuff for us and help us out with all sorts of things. So we're going to take a pause here in between our lightning round for a message from our sponsor. Okay, we're back for the lightning round. We have one rule only. And it's a little bit different between Greg and myself. He gives you 30 seconds. I give you a minute. So you have a minute, right, to answer each one of these questions. You ready?
Okay, ready.
Awesome. Okay. So, Lauren, what is your favorite personal hack? This can be a book, a podcast, anything goes. We're Aggie Growth Hacks here.
I think my very favorite personal hack is the goal setting and gratitude practice that I do that I refer to the Start Today Journal. I don't think she makes it anymore, but it doesn't matter. You can literally walk yourself through this practice of dreaming big for your whole life, not just business, what you want it to look like and putting it down on paper. I really believe in putting your goals down on paper and telling someone else. And so I've done that. I shared that with my husband and I felt my friends held me accountable and it really helped me get to where I am today.
Love it. And I think that that's so powerful. And it's so powerful for you that you accomplished it in half the time. So, I mean, I can't wait to see your goal setting with 100 practices on it and see how long it'll take you to do that.
Oh, man. Yeah.
Lauren, what is your favorite business hack?
My favorite podcast for business is the Craig Rochelle Leadership Podcast. Have you all ever listened to it? Okay. I just feel like I glean something new from every single episode. It's only once a month. I wish it was more frequent, but a while ago he went over culture and that's when I sat down each member of my team one by one and just asked them like, what am I doing that you appreciate? How can I help you more? He talks about settling your team, which I really loved that idea, especially in counseling. We can kind of all be, it's siloed, you know, everything's confidential. We can't come together at work and talk about our clients in the same way that maybe other people get to do at work. And so just the idea of settling my team and helping them feel valued and seen, and that I really want Rockall Counseling and Wellness to be the best place for therapists to work, because that's how I know that we're going to meet the needs of our clients. I want our therapists to feel valued.
Love that. All right, Lauren, what is the best advice you have ever been given and 2008 points, if you can tell us how you actually applied it?
Just really practical advice was from my mom. She's been a therapist, like I said, for almost my whole life, for about 30 years. I'm 37. And I was around that age 7 whenever I watched her graduate. But she told me a while ago, years ago, that if she could go back in time, she would have purchased the property that she practices in instead of renting it for the last 30 years. And so I did that times three. Three of our properties are purchased properties. And so I took that advice and ran with it. And then another favorite is I had a client who is a businessman here in town. He loves business. I think he chose me as his counselor because he knew I owned the practice. And every now and then he would ask me how things were going. And he just gave me some great advice about kind of what I talked about just focusing on what I was doing, not worrying about the competition. He told me some just practical advice that he had dealt with when competitors had moved in and out of town and what he felt like kept him as the number one. So that was really helpful.
That is so good. Such great advice. And you obviously have taken it and are growing and succeeding through it. Lauren, how can the Aggie Growth Hacks family get in touch with you? How can we support you? How can we encourage you?
Yeah, we are Rockwell Counseling and Wellness and Wiley Counseling and Wellness on both Instagram and Facebook. We have a blog at rockwellcounselingandwellness.com that has lots of different mental health tips and as well as spotlights of each of our counselors. And so we would love for you to take a look at that and you can leave some comments there.
Awesome. Well, Lauren, yeah. Thank you so much for joining us. Thank you for being here. And quite frankly, I think that we just need to go ahead and book your next Aggie 100. Go ahead and book your hotel for coming down for Aggie 100 in the fall. So excited for you.
Thank you so much. Appreciate it.
Well, how about that, Ags? Was that pretty awesome or what? I know that got a lot of notes that I took down, you know, from Lauren and just all the great value bombs she was dropping left and right. What were your favorite takeaways there, Greg?
Well, the thing that just jumped out at me was the quote where she said, "What the competition is doing is interesting, but what I'm doing is fascinating." And that resonated with me for a couple of reasons. One, you know, as an entrepreneur, sometimes we get bogged down worrying about competition and they're going to take my clients and then I'm going to lose all my clients. And then if I lose all my clients, I'm not going to make any money. If I don't make any money, then I'm not going to be able to pay my bills. And then I'm going to end up in a van down by the river. And so to be able to have, hey, the competition came into town and all of a sudden I'm homeless is like a 3-second journey for a lot of entrepreneurs, but that's not the case. The fact of the matter is that we all have competition and what they do is interesting because that's how they were created and that's how they see their business. But what we're doing as entrepreneurs, the unique spin that you and your business do, the fact that your life experiences have all led you to this point to be able to serve your clients in a unique and passionate way, that's fascinating. To be able to bring value to clients in a way that they see as valuable is fascinating. And to not have a zero-sum game of entrepreneurship, but to see, hey, if competition is doing something, and quite frankly, if they're doing something interesting and it's meaningful, then I'm gonna rip it off and I'm gonna make it better. And then I'm gonna do it so much better than they are. But if they're doing something that is valuable to my clients, I need to find out what that is because that's what my clients deserve. So that was just really, really powerful to me when she said that. What about you? What did you take away?
Well, I 100% agree with you. I liked the Start Today journal, right? That she was talking about.
Yeah.
And really it was getting into the practice of dreaming big, right? Entrepreneurs, y'all, we need to dream big sometimes, right? And we need to put our ideas down on the paper and share those with the people around us.
And share them.
That's the key. I don't know about y'all, but it's really hard to hold myself accountable. But I'll tell you what, my employees, kids especially, and my wife will hold me accountable. If I say I'm going to do something, I better sure do that, right? And so I think that's really the key is really sharing it, share those dreams, share your goals, right? With those around you.
And obviously there's power. power in that. We've seen it not only with Lauren, but specifically with Lauren, to achieve a 10-year goal in 5 years. I mean, Chris, I know that you've shared with me some of your goals for your firm. And the fact of the matter is that, I mean, I think you said that you were a couple clients away from achieving that, one of those major goals.
Yeah.
And by sharing that, it doesn't have power sharing with it, but being willing to be held accountable and push yourself a little bit harder, let yourself get distracted. That's what's powerful.
Yeah, for sure.
Well, that's going to do it for this episode of Aggie Growth Hacks. We hope that you were pumped up and excited. We hope that you're connected with Lauren. If you're not, check her out on the web. If you're not connected with Chris or I, or connected with Aggie Growth Hacks, connect with us. We'd love to get to know you. We'd love to hear your story. We'd love to share your story. When you're on the webs, make sure that you check out aggiegrowthhacks.com for this episode and our previous episodes and contacts. And make sure that you give it a big giggum, a thumbs up, and like and subscribe to Aggie Growth Hacks to wherever you're listening.
We want to give a huge shout out to our sponsor, the McFerrin Center for Entrepreneurship at Texas A&M University. Since 1999, the McFerrin Center for Entrepreneurship has served as the hub entrepreneurship for Texas A&M. If you're an Aggie entrepreneur or even a wantrepreneur, head on over to their website right now to find a program that's right for you. Just go to aggiegrowthhacks.com/McFerrin. Well, Aggs, join us next time when we connect with another great Aggie entrepreneur and learn how they hacked their growth. Until then, I'm Chris Hunter.
And I'm Greg Martin. Thanks and gig 'em.